Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
I was sitting there thinking this morning as I listened to Chris talk, Chris Blacker talk, and just what a great word he gave this morning. And, you know, we hear great words. And then I started to think about, well, how do we get the great words? What is it that we do? And, you know, we don't just pull them out of our head just for the fun of it or think, well, this is the latest thing. And none of us are clever enough to have written any books, so we're not trying to sell books because of what we preach. So the message I have tonight, God put on my heart about a week and a half ago, the title that is. And often I just get a title and then I wait on God for the rest. And I just know that I know that I know that tonight the title is for somebody here or for many people here tonight. And so please make certain you listen. There is a response needed. And it's important that we follow what it is. So the title is, It Ain't God's Fault. And I don't know whether you recognise it, but I think we're living in an age where we're seeing more and more people not wanting to take responsibility for their own actions or their own stupidity. And I say stupidity because that's what I think it is so often. In fact, you hear many times now, there should be a law against that. As if, why don't somebody make a law that would protect me from my own stupidity or from somebody else's stupidity? I was in a meeting recently in Parliament House and I heard that every year there is about 6,000 new laws established in Australia. Isn't that incredible? Every year, about 6,000 new laws. So you think about how old you are and think about how many new laws have been written just again. And laws are normally made because of somebody's past mistake. They're not made to stop something happening. They're made because something did happen and we need to stop it. And so, you know, we're living in that age. However, as Christians, we tend to want to blame God or somebody else for our own stupidity. I said once, somebody, what happened to common sense and people taking responsibility for their own actions? And I looked up on the website just a couple of quick little quotes, and there are thousands of quotes on common sense. Common sense is like deodorant. Those that need it most never use it. Hey, Andrew, can you give me... Oh, no, wait, I've got to turn it on. That's it. Now I've done it. Oh, no, back. Thanks, Andrew. Sorry about that. So common sense is like deodorant. Those that need it most... Yep. It's strange how common sense isn't that common anymore. And when you think about it, isn't it true? Most of the things we do, we know what to do in. And when we look at others, we see them not doing something and we think, why not? That's just common sense. But common sense isn't that common. And so with that in mind, we shouldn't be amazed at how many people are either angry at God or they blame him for their situation and circumstance. Now, I'm not going to ask you to show hands right now, but I would guarantee you, there's people in this room right now that you're either now are or you have blamed God or you have been angry at God for something that happened that you think shouldn't have happened. Let me share a couple of Old Testament accounts with you to make my point that it isn't God's fault or it ain't God's fault. In Numbers 13 and 14, we read the record of the account of the 12 spies Moses sent out to spy out the promised land. After the Red Sea experience, they travelled for a short time through the wilderness and they came to a town that bordered the promised land, a town called Kadesh Barnea. Before they entered into the promised land from Kadesh Barnea, Moses chose 12 men, one from each tribe, and their charter was to go out and spy out the land, check out the people, check out what they were going to face when they moved into the land. The account goes on to say that they returned after 40 days of spying out the land and 10 spies had a bad report. In Numbers 13 it says, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. All the people we saw were of great size and we seemed like grasshoppers even in our own eyes. Out of the 12, 10 had that report, but only two, Caleb and Joshua, differed. And they virtually gave the report, yeah, there are giants in the land, but with our God we can do anything. So it's not that we don't admit that there are negatives, don't admit that there could be pressures, but with God we can do anything. However, the people, Bible says, believed the report of the 10 doubters. And they lost heart and they started to rebel. In Numbers 14 it says, they raised their voices and wept aloud, grumbling against Moses and Aaron, saying, if only we had died in Egypt or even in this desert. Why is it that God is bringing us into this land only to let us fall by the sword? So in short, even after seeing all of the miracles, even after seeing all the things that God had done in bringing them out of Egypt, they still had this doubt. The Bible tells us that God was not overly happy with the people. He said in Numbers 14 verse 11, how long will they refuse to believe in me? In spite of all the miraculous signs I performed among them, I will strike them down with a plague and I will destroy them. Moses, incredible type of the Lord Jesus, interceded again on behalf of God's people. And God, the Bible tells us, turned away his wrath. Although God did forgive them, he decided that not one of them would ever enter into the promised land. In Numbers 14:23, it says, no one who has treated me with contempt will ever see the land I promised them. Rather, those that grumbled and moaned would suffer by wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Each of 40 days they explored the land. And again, in Numbers 14, it says that God would give them what they asked for. He says, I will do the very things I heard you say. In this desert, your bodies will fall, every one of you who is 20 years or more older. And then the 10 that brought the bad report were struck down immediately and died of a plague. Only Joshua and Caleb, which we know, survived. They were the two faithful spies, and because of their good report, because of their believing report, because of their acceptance that with God that they could do anything, they were promised that they could go into the land. And we read in Joshua how that happened. Great story. God promised the children of Israel victory. That was a promise he gave them before he took them out of Egypt. He commanded them to go into the land and to take their land. It was already theirs. All they had to do was simply trust him, obey him, do as they were told, in short. The truth is for us today that God will never lead us where his grace cannot provide for us or where his power will not protect us. Let me read that again because that's incredibly important. God will never lead us or tell us to go where his grace cannot provide or his power cannot protect. The Israelites, they had seen the powerful hand of God at work during the plagues, during the miracles, as I said a minute ago. Yet like many of us, they walked by sight and not by faith. And finally, their unbelief displeased God. Their failure to believe in God's word, their failure to stay true to God's word, kept them from entering the promised land. That's why I say tonight, it's not God's fault. It ain't God's fault that the children of Israel ended up wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. It was the children of Israel's fault. God had left them everything. He'd given them everything. Yet they chose to allow their unbelief and their lack of trust and faith to steal what God had promised to them. The story doesn't end there. Even though their sin of unbelief and doubt brought about a negative outworking, God still loved them. He still looked after them. He still provided for them. And that is the truth now. Even though we sin, even though we fall short of God's glory, even though we do often have times of unbelief and doubt, God still loves us. God still looks after us. God still provides for us. And again, if we had time, we could unpack scripture after scripture after scripture. The last time I spoke on a Sunday evening, I talk about God being our provider. My God shall provide all your needs. You think of all the promises. You think of all the scriptures that God says he's going to do something. and then ask yourself whether you're believing them. Let's unpack the next part of the story, because for me, again, this helps us to understand why and how we need to put our trust in God. The children of Israel were able to survive the wilderness experience until old age took them, because God provided for them. Think about it. Over 3 million people, they never needed a doctor because they never got sick. The Bible tells us that they never needed new shoes because their shoes never wore out. The Bible also says that nobody needed new clothes. In fact, in Deuteronomy 29, it says, "For 40 years I led you through the wilderness, yet your clothes and your sandals did not wear out." That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? 3 million people never having to go shopping. I'd love that. Never have to go shopping ever again for anything. Wonderful. Nobody ate bread, but they lived well because every morning there was manna. You remember the story of the manna? It was laid out. It was a substance that went moldy, so you could only pick what you needed to eat at that time. I wonder how many people decided that they were going to store up some manna for later, and yet it went moldy in the bowl or whatever they collected it in. Again, how often we disobey God. How often we don't trust Him for His word and what His word actually says. The Bible continues to tell us that they didn't lack for any meat because God provided quail at the evening time. They didn't lack for drink because God provided water for them out of a rock. And then because it was in the desert, the Bible tells us that God provided a cloud for shade in the day. And then, of course, everyone knows in the desert it gets cold at night. And so He provided a fire for them at night to keep them warm. And then you read again in Joshua how the tribes in the promised land were scared of the children of Israel because of all of the accounts where God went before them in the wilderness when there was an enemy in the land. So God gave them victory over the enemy. And then finally, there was guidance 24/7 for those 40 years as God led them day by day. The children of Israel had to rely on God for everything, as they were completely without any measure of support for their survival without it. God met their needs, yet, as we often do, people became used to that, used to going to the rock, used to going out and getting some manna in the morning, used to going and getting the quail at night, used to the cloud for shade and the fire for warmth. And so they started to take God for granted. The Bible tells us that they even became bored while in the wilderness. So let me share a possible scenario. We'll use the Nelson family so we don't pick on anybody. I thought that was pretty mean of you picking on the Devon Senators this morning. I really did. I just thought that was mean. I won't do that. The Nelson family have been in the wilderness for 39 years. And Mrs. Nelson, well, she's a bit of a hoarder. And so she's collected a few trinkets on the way. And the trumpet sounds and the cloud starts to move. And we know that that's time to pack up camp and to move, because the cloud is moving and God is moving us on. But Mrs. Nelson, you've got to blame somebody. Mrs. Nelson decides that she doesn't want to move. We've been around this mountain 39 years. We know where we're going. We know what's going to happen. Why don't we just stay here until they come back around again? Now, Mr. Nelson, being an obedient man, submitted to his wife in every way, not wanting to pack the donkey and all of the trinkets that had been stored, decided to stay. And so the dust, as the 3 million people moved on and the Nelson family just sitting there with their beautiful tent. Kids wake up in the morning and Graham and Chris are in bed and they say, "Hey, Al, go out and get some manna." And Al goes out. Guess what? Comes running back in. "Dad, there's no manna." "Huh? God must have forgotten this morning." "Don't worry. Go and fill the water bottles with some water. Go over to the rock." "Dad, there's no water." And then it starts to get a little hot. "Turn the air conditioner on." "No cloud." "Night, no quail." Then you start to look down and the clothes have got some holes in them. You got the story. Whose fault is it that there was no manna, there was no water, there was no quail, that our clothes started to wear out, that it was hot and cold? Whose fault? Chris's fault. Thank you. Well done, Pat. I couldn't have said it better, Pat. Thank you. Oh, just for the tape, it wasn't me that said it. Pat said it. I disagree with you, Pat. It was the Nelson's fault. Yet the Nelsons start to get angry because God's left them. No, it wasn't God's fault. It ain't God's fault ever. The Nelsons chose to come out from God's covering. I want you to hear those words because that's important. The Nelsons chose to come out from under God's covering. I can say without any doubt, 100% of the time when things aren't going the way God's word says, then it's got to do with us, not God. I wonder how many today are not living under God's covering, have decided to disobey, have decided to allow unbelief or doubt, have decided not to stand true and sit under God's word. When we choose to disobey God's instructions, we choose to come out from his covering. If we want access to our promised land, we must stay under God's covering and trust and obey his word. Do we really value God's provision? You know, I often look at just the blessings in our life. Now, we've had troubles and trials and tribulations. We all do. The Bible says we grow from those. But I look at the blessings, I look at the incredible peace, I look at the incredible things that God has given us and blessed us with. I would never take what God has given us for granted. And I say that, I would never, because I know what I would be like without God. I know what my life would be like if I hadn't met God when I did. If you're in a wilderness experience right now, it could be financial, could be emotional, it could be anything. It's time to recognize that you've allowed yourself to come out of God's covering. It's time to place God back in charge of your life and believe his word. That doesn't mean that the tough stuff goes away. It just means that you have peace in the midst of the tough stuff. Here's a revelation for you. God is in charge. You know, we're going on men's camp, and some would like a lot of rain because it'll make the tracks muddy. Others would like it warm because they haven't got very good sleeping bags. Mike would certainly like it to be dry so we don't have to put up the marquee, wouldn't you, Mike? Okay. Guess what? Whatever happens, God is in charge, and we're going to get the best weather that we need in whatever God has for us. Once you put God in charge, once you recognize that God is in charge, once you begin to realize what he's doing for you and why, then we start to take the first real steps of coming out of our wilderness experience. Unfortunately, I think many people think they are the creators of their destiny. And while you might be in some of the things that you've got to do, you aren't the creator of it. When we finally begin to understand, acknowledge, accept and act upon the knowledge that God is the source of our deliverance, then and only then can we begin our journey to freedom and the promised land of his abundance in every area of our lives. And if you want to play that through your mind, just think about how they could have gone into the promised land after 3 days, and yet it was 40 years. Because God had to outwork their unbelief. I would rather give God control and live under his word and covering. Father, I just thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your analogy. And God, I ask your forgiveness if we've blamed you for something that we've done. God, tonight I know that this message is for one, for two, for three, for four, five, ten. Who cares? God, it's for some people here tonight that you want them to give you control of their lives. Lord God, even though they might have giants in their land, even though their situations and circumstances might look difficult, Father, they can honestly say, yeah, there are giants, and I do look like a grasshopper in their sight, but with you, God, everything is possible. And so, Father, I pray that tonight your word would give them the courage to do what Joshua was told to do when he took the promised land. Every place that you put the sole of your feet, I will give you. God, your word is so clear. Your promises are so sure. And God, you don't want us to live by sight or feelings. You want us to live by trust and obedience in your word. Father, have your way right now, I pray in Jesus' name. Now, just before we have this baptism, and I want to thank Mike for getting baptized. Where are you, Mike, over there? I want to thank you for that. This morning, at the end of the baptismal service, as I looked at the tank, I just felt God clearly say, leave the tank out because there might be those that want to get baptized. And I thank you, Mike, for coming up. I thank you for being obedient. If they're here tonight and you haven't been baptized and you know you need to be baptized, look, we'll do it in the clothes that you're in right now. Okay? It doesn't matter going home wet. Just be obedient. If you know that tonight you've been blaming God or you've been at angst with God over a circumstantial situation, you've allowed yourself to move out of under his covering, I'd like you to stand right now so I can pray with you. And then we're going to straight away baptize. So if that's you, just stand where you are right now. I know it's a tough call, but I believe that's what God would have me do, just to pray for you. Thank you. I think there's more. If you know that you're not believing, trusting, relying on God, if you've allowed the giants in your land to rob you of your confidence and faith and trust in God. Okay, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for these two that have stand. Lord God, I thank you for their courage. I thank you, Lord God, by standing tonight that they have already put their giants under their feet. And Father, I pray right now for a miracle in their circumstance, in their situation. Lord God, we would be able to read in Good News Week, in weeks to come, Lord God, of the outworking of the victory that they have seen as they have now placed their hand back in your hand, as they have allowed themselves to come back under your covering. Lord God, as they have run after you again and placed themselves under the cloud and the fire, as it were. Father, I pray that you would do as your word has said, that first of all you would provide for them. Father, your word says that Jesus says, peace I leave with you, not as the world giveth, but peace, peace that passes all understanding. I pray peace into their situations and circumstances, peace in their mind as they keep their minds on you. Then, Lord God, I pray that you would give them their Rhema scriptures that they need for them to be able to walk in the situations and the circumstances that they're in. So, Father, we just give you thanks and praise tonight in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.